This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1-224-222-0777.
Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. And produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 795 for release on Sunday, May 19th, 2024. On WaveScan today, CKLW, The Big Eight. We'll continue touring DocuFunk in Vienna, Austria, and our Philippine DX report. In North America, mention of 800 kilocycles in the standard AM broadcast band usually brings back memories of one of three major stations. On the island of Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, Transworld Radio launched a station on that frequency on October 1st, 1964, with programming beamed both north and south in Spanish, Portuguese, and English.
This has been the English Ministry of TWR Bonaire, Dutch Caribbean, offering a variety of Christian Bible teaching here on 800 a.m. every evening at this time, starting at 7 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time.
In Mexico, there was a border blaster on 800 kilohertz in Ciudad Juarez, XEROK, just across the Rio Grande from El Paso, Texas.
The new X-Rock and the new year. It's 1974.
XEROK, Juarez, Mexico. X-Rock 80.
And in Canada, there was the famous CKLW in Windsor, Ontario, which also served the Metro Detroit area. Today, that's a news talk station, but many people remember it fondly from its Top 40 era in the late 60s and 70s. That's the subject of Ray Robinson's tribute today, CKLW, The Big Eight.
Thanks, Jeff. CKLW first came on the air on June 2, 1932 as CKOK on 540 kilocycles with 5,000 watts of power. The station was built by George Storer and was sold to a group of Windsor area businessmen led by Malcolm Campbell, operating as Essex Broadcasters Limited. CKOK became CKLW and moved to 840 kHz in 1933, when Essex Broadcasters Limited merged with the London Free Press and its station CJGC. The LW in the CKLW callsign is said to have stood for London Windsor, considered the two chief cities in the station's Southern Ontario listening area. When the station's power increased to 50,000 watts, its listening area increased accordingly. In 1934, CKLW moved from 840 to 1030 kHz before settling on its present frequency of 800 kHz in 1941, thanks to a shuffle of frequency allocations under the North American Regional Broadcasting Agreement, or NABRA. For most of its history, CKLW had a distinctly American accent to its programming, and for a number of years served as the Detroit affiliate of the Mutual Broadcasting System, an affiliation that began with its switch from CBS to Mutual on September 29, 1935, and which would last from then until its purchase by RKO in 1963. Alongside its affiliation with Mutual, CKLW also gained a dual affiliation with the CBC in 1935. In the late 1930s and early 1940s, CKLW was home to Happy Joe's Early Morning Frolic with Joe Gentile and Toby David, one of the first popular comedy-oriented radio morning shows in Detroit. As television's popularity boomed, CKLW, like many other stations, coped with the changes by replacing the dying network radio fare with locally based disc jockey shows. Throughout the 1950s and into the mid-1960s, CKLW was basically a variety radio station which filled in the gaps between network features with pop music played by announcers like Bud Davies, Joe Vann and Ron Knowles, who had a rock and roll show on AM 800 as early as 1957. For a few years in the early 1960s, CKLW also featured a country music program in the evenings called Sounds Like Nashville. That ended in 1963 when WEXL 1340 became Detroit's first 24-hour country station. On April 4, 1967, CKLW got a drastic makeover with Bill Drake's Boss Radio format programmed locally by Paul Drew. The station became known as The Big Eight, with new jingles sung by the Johnny Mann Singers, and the station was on a rapid ratings upswing.
CKLW, the Motor City. More music, CKLW.
In July 1967, CKLW claimed the number one spot in the Detroit ratings for the first time, and its major competitor in the Detroit market, WKNR, was left in the dust. That station switched to an easy listening format as WNIC less than 5 years later. It's said that CKLW became the hum of the region. Walking down Woodward Avenue in Detroit, it could be heard blasting from just about every direction, from passing cars, businesses, and the open windows of homes. But of course, Detroit's number one station was in fact not in Detroit. Its 50,000 watts of AM power, which blanketed southern Ontario and more than a dozen states, was instead situated on the southern shore of the Detroit River in Windsor, Ontario. It's actually a Class B 50,000 watt station with a five-tower array directional antenna with differing patterns day and night. Despite its high power, it must protect Class A clear channel station XCROK in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, and other Canadian and US stations on 800 AM. The transmitter is off County Road 20 West in southern Essex County, between Amherstburg and Harrow, a few kilometres from the Lake Erie shoreline. When Transworld Radio launched their station in Bonaire in 1964 with 525,000 watts on the same frequency, it caused significant interference to CKLW at night. But CKLW was and is under no obligation to protect TWR, as that station signed on long after North American allocations were settled and the Netherlands Antilles didn't honour such international agreements. But in the primary markets of Windsor and Detroit in the late 1960s, the exciting, bold, new style of the Big Eight revolutionised not only how radio and media would be delivered, but also how it would be consumed. Its format relentlessly pumped out the hits in assembly line fashion. Its newscasters made the news as exciting as the music, and the audio wizardry of its engineer, Ed Butterbaugh, pushed the capabilities of the AM frequency, sonically separating the station from all others on the dial. CKLW resonated with the rising power of a youthful new generation that demanded to be listened to as much as the station did itself. Music was the backbone of CKLW. This was hit radio, and key to its reign supreme in the trendsetting Detroit radio market was its ability to integrate black R&B or soul music, the Motown sound, seamlessly with white rock and roll in a way that most American stations wouldn't touch. The Big Eight established Windsor as a gateway radio market for breaking Canadian recording artists into the United States. Few acts felt the station's impact greater than the Guess Who. While already enjoying national success in Canada, once CKLW picked up on These Eyes in 1969, the band's career was forever changed. Overnight, they were signed to an American record deal with RCA Victor, and within the year had a number one hit on the Billboard charts with the single American Woman. CKLW got behind numerous Canadian acts, giving their careers a significant boost in the process. Steppenwolf, Backman Turner Overdrive, The Poppy Family, Gordon Lightfoot, Anne Murray, and numerous others. Here are some air checks from the late 1960s.
Music, CKLW.
Rock on, Baba!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
CKLW.
CKLW and Charlie Van Dyke back at 103 on a $1 million weekend. Don't think of me as anything particularly special. I'm very happy and pleased to be here. Now just a West Coast DJ bit movie actor. Come to think of it, you're lucky I showed up. CKLW and Charlie Van Dyke at 134. William Heritage and the theme from SWAT. I say, since I just left Hollywood, I do know what the next episode of SWAT will be. You tune in for the next show, you'll see the special weapons and tactical unit answering code 1025. That is a disturbance at a motel involving a donkey.
CKLW with the Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose, and you got to treat her like a lady. Good morning, it's Frank Brody back in the Motor City at 9-11. CKLW. Billion Dollar Weekend, Frank Brody with the super sound and Supremes.
CKLW presenting the original Million Dollar Weekend. 5:30, Big Jim Edwards here, raised by a wild band of Muscatel-crazed gypsies. CKLW, 5:41, Big Jim Edwards here on the Million Dollar Weekend. Just another empty bottle in the garbage can of life.
Besides the music, another feature of the Big 8 was its 2020 news, so-called because it was delivered 20 minutes after the hour and 20 minutes before the hour, scheduling that allowed CKLW to be playing music while other stations were airing newscasts at the top of the hour or on the quarter or half hour. The CKLW newscasters delivered imagery-laden news stories in a rapid-fire, excited manner, not sparing any of the gory details when it came to describing murders or rapes. This was an attempt to make the news sound as exciting and gripping as the music. Another memorable feature of the 2020 newscasts was the incessant clacking of the teletype in the background, which gave the newscasts a unique sound.
This is 6-5, CKLW 2020 News. Winter traffic is moving well but heavy. Look for delays later today on Willette Avenue due to road work.
But the station's ability to compete within the Detroit market was significantly compromised when the newly mandated Canadian content, or CanCon, regulations, which required 30% Canadian content, went into effect in 1971. Still, even with those constraints, CKLW continued to hold the number one spot in Detroit well into 1973. The effects of CanCon, combined with an increasingly fragmented radio listening audience as a result of the rise of FM radio throughout the 1970s, meant CKLW's ratings would inevitably decline. The Canadian government's initial unwillingness to license FM frequencies with pop or rock music formats stranded Canadian stations on AM, while an entire demographic of listeners began the exodus to US-based FM outlets anywhere the signals were in range. For many younger listeners, by 1978, CKLW was the station they listened to only if they had an AM-only radio in their cars, and I had one of those in an old Lincoln Continental in 1985. The station did implement AM stereo in 1982 and even got the rights to broadcast University of Michigan football and NASL soccer, but it wasn't enough. In 1984, the Canadian Radio and Television Commission, the CRTC, declined the station's application to relaunch as an FM hit radio station, and that spelt the end. On January 1, 1985, CKLW raised the white flag. The station laid off its entire staff of 79 people, closed its American sales office in Detroit, and rebranded as K800 with a fully automated Music of Your Life format of jazz standards and big band music. And since most of those recordings were mono, the AM stereo was switched off. On March 1, 1993, the format was changed again to News Talk as AM800, the information station, which it still is to this day. On May 1, 2017, a fire broke out at the transmitter site, knocking the station off the air. Programming was temporarily moved to sister station AM580, CKWW, while both stations' internet feeds remained unaffected. The cause was never made public, and the station was able to return to the air on reduced power by mid-afternoon the following day. The story of the Big 8 was one of the most exciting and unique radio stories of the 20th century. It happened in a small border city that's typically seen as living in Detroit's shadow, rather than being a major cultural mover and shaker itself. But for a time, Windsor hosted one of the most listened to and influential radio stations in North America. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Ray. Next week, Ray will have the story, which I hope you'll find interesting, of how yours truly first became involved in shortwave radio broadcasting when I was part of the team that set up Radio Earth back in the early 1980s. a project which led ultimately to the creation of WRMI. We have some good news about the QSL collection of our WaveScan editor, Adrian Peterson. This massive collection of over 50,000 QSL cards collected over a lifetime is now on its way to Adrian's home country of Australia. Adrian has donated the collection to the National Film and Sound Archive in Canberra, capital of Australia. But first, they're going to our friends at the Australian Radio DX Club, who volunteered to scan all 50,000 or so of the QSL cards so they can be placed on a website that people around the world will be able to access. It will be a valuable resource for shortwave enthusiasts and radio historians for decades to come. Jose Jacob in India tells us that Dr. K.P. Yohanan, the founder and director of Gospel for Asia, tragically passed away on the 8th of May in Dallas, Texas, USA, after being struck by a car during his regular morning walk. Originally based in Tiruvalla, Kerala, India, the Gospel for Asia program was started in 1985 and was broadcast in 110 languages on medium wave, shortwave, and FM. But it was discontinued a few years back. Joseph says Gospel for Asia used to issue QSL cards, and he sent us a copy of one he received in 2002 for a report of the program, which was transmitted from the Dabaya United Arab Emirates relay station with 250 kilowatts on 15590 kilohertz. Last week, we continued exploring docufunk in Vienna, Austria, with Jonathan Marks and the late Wolf Harant, who gave Jonathan a tour of the facility in 2009. Docufunk houses hundreds of thousands of QSL cards and radio memorabilia from around the world. Let's rejoin that tour.
You should point out that this building also has a radio history.
Yes, this used to be the editorial offices of Radio Austria International until the station was closed down in 2003.
And did you have a situation, because it started here in the Argentinerstrasse, then it went to Würzburggasse, and then it came back?
Yeah. It came back, and it was over there, broadcasting house, and over here again. Well, we moved and moved and moved. Moving is a good thing. Keep moving. Meet Ahmed in one of our good corporates and team members. This is part of the library. It's part of the library because we don't have room enough for all the books. But it is a very representative selection of books, periodicals, whatever you have for concerning amateur radio and broadcasting. Here at last we are with broadcasting.
Radio Wien was the sort of radio magazine.
That was the radio magazine, yes. And you wouldn't find a complete set like this one anywhere else in Austria and somewhere else. So you would have to go to Berlin to find their complete archives. Or you just simply stay with us. This is an Australian paper because the Australian organization is one of our supporting members, like so many others. These are periodicals dating back to 1912. You can't see much because we try to digitalize the whole thing, getting stuff and stuff. And haven't got the room to put all of it together. Shall we carry on? Yeah. Funny recollections. I must remind you that we are international. We are not just Austria, but of course we keep our own souvenirs. We are very proud of our past.
From Austria, news and views from our studio in Vienna.
We have a number of sections. We have two realms, amateur radio broadcasting. And we have a number of sections. One is the audio and video plural, where we try to get hold and record whatever is media related, be it transmitted on satellite or local radio, whatever it is, that's the audio and video pool. And there we get tapes that are being donated and we record ourselves very systematically as far as this is possible. We cannot record whatever is happening all around the world. The next part is the library. We collect periodicals, all kind of publications, magazines. We try to digitalize them to make them researchable. The third part is the documentary archive, documents of all kinds, pictures, written things, all archive files, files from anywhere, everything. We try to get hold of that. A particular field is the research into Austrian radio. We are based in Austria, and funny enough, Austrian radio did never have its own historical instance. So, in order,
so it had an archive, but there was no historian.
No, they never had an archive. They have an archive of their own recordings, but not an archive on the development of radio in Austria, not development of broadcasting in Austria, no development of the company. Never, never, ever. Don't ask me why things happen. There are countries where it's obligatory, where it's in the law, you must have radio stations, must keep their... Well, Austrian radio did not, does not. That's our great chance, because Austrian radio is one of the three... supporting members, or on the board of our group. So if we do that and if we do it properly, this might help us to survive. If we can offer something to them, we can ask them to support parts of our archives that are of no interest to a broadcaster, speak a lot of Austrian radio. Yeah, and the final part is the QSL collection. So all these sections together from the documentary archives. Yeah, we were talking about amateur radio before. Now this is broadcasting. This is broadcast QSL cards or reception reports or confirmation letters from all over the world. Sometimes
Brazzaville.
Yeah, Brazzaville, 1968. Whatever is here would not be here if it was not here. What is this?
Ecuador,
yeah.
HCJB.
Yeah. One of the many of that. Well. We could carry on like this.
Falkland Islands?
You want to see Falkland Islands? Yeah. Falkland Islands would be a good idea to tell you what we're doing. So let's first of all see what we have from Falkland Islands. Sorry, it's just gone because we did research on the Falkland Islands. Could you give me another?
Okay, yeah.
Fiji.
So what's this?
This is a QSL card of the Fiji Broadcasting Commission. And it's one of the great things that once in your lifetime, you pick up that station. You've been trying for years and years on end. And just once, they are almost inaudible. You can hear them through the hiss. And you're not quite sure it's Fiji until they say, Fiji, something like Fiji, this must be Fiji Islands. You send a reception report, and they don't reply. You send another one, and another one. And then you meet someone, a friend of yours, and ask him, and tell him, I had Fiji. And everybody hears Fiji, here's my QSL card. And you're so envious, and all of a sudden, you get it. That's the one you get. Well, it's a really rare one, because we only have three of them in the whole collection.
That was Wolf Harent, founder of the DocuFunk Radio Archives in Vienna, Austria, and former host of the German Language DX program at Radio Austria International. He was speaking with Jonathan Marx on his media network, Vintage Vault.
Hello, everyone. This is your shortwave business, wherever you're welcome to the May 12th edition of the Philippine DX. This is report number 206. I'm Henry Maday in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental Central, Philippines. Glad to be back, and thank you for listening. I would like to thank the following DXers for sending a reception report. Most recently, Mr. Richard Lemke in Alberta, Canada, Mr. Toshiki Moro in Tokyo, Japan, Mr. Chan Zachary Alvarez in Cavite, the Philippines, and Mr. Marco Lasatin in San Fernando, Pampanga, here also in the Philippines. To all of you, thank you very much. Reception lags for April 2024, April 9, NHK Radio Japan on 17810 in Japanese from Yamata, 0312. SAO 44 for April 9, Transworld Radio KTWR on 11965 in English, primary so Guam at 1120, SAO 333. April 9, Radio Thailand World Service on 9 through 85 in English, from Odontani at 1209, SAO 555. April 10, Adventist World Radio on 12040 in Indonesian, from Trincomalee at 2212, SAO 333. April 10, Radio New Zealand International on 13690 in English, from Rajatagi at 0803, SAO 433. And April 14, Adventist World Radio on 15430 in Chanjan, from Agat Guam at 1251, SAO 444. Some reception information sent by our DXR friend, Marco Lasatin, from Pampanga here in the Philippines. He heard the following stations from his location. April 15, Adventist World Radio on 11800 in Arabic, from now in Germany at 1919, SIO 333. April 24, Adventist World Radio on 17565 in Ordo, from Aschbrunn, Austria at 1609, SIO 444. April 26, Adventist World Radio on 11850 in Burmese, from Tashkent, Uzbekistan at 1444, SIO 222. And April 30, Voice of America on 17490 in Tibetan, probably Germany at 1455, SIO 444. Send us your comments, suggestions, reception lags, and informations to PilipinasDX@gmail.com. That's PILIPINASDX for PilipinasDX@gmail.com. This has been Henry Muday for Wavescan in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental Central Philippines, saying mabuhay at maraming salamat po.
Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week on WaveScan, Radio Earth and the genesis of WRMI, and our Bangladesh DX report. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.
This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.